Things that have happened, and God has given us wisdom, and He's given us so much providence, and He's just brought together a beautiful bunch of people. And my heart has been so encouraged by the friendships, by the love, the witness of Christ that I just see in all of you guys. And we're giving them all the glory. There's a barbecue after church as well, so stay for that, even if you didn't know about it, even if you're a guest. We're going to just fellowship together and remember the Lord's goodness. We're going to look at quite an appropriate passage as we thank God and celebrating God's goodness to us. We're going to look, as we continue in our series, Encountering Jesus, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing through between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" And today, what we always look at what Jesus values when we read about him in the Gospels, so that we can make his values our values. And today we're going to look at this incredible principle of thanksgiving, so that we can incorporate it into our lives and live in the fullness of what God's word promises us about that. And this encounter with Jesus is, you probably have heard preaching about it, but I'll just cover a little bit of the background. These guys, the Bible says they had leprosy. We don't know for sure that they had leprosy, but they had a contagious skin disease. It could have been leprosy. And in those days, the law was that if you had one of these diseases, you were expelled from society because of the contagion. You weren't allowed to live within the towns or the villages. You had to keep your hair disheveled so people could see that there was something wrong with you. You had to wear tatty clothes. And everywhere you went, you had to shout, "I am unclean," so that people could avoid you. Could you imagine the horror of that? Could you put yourself in that situation? That everywhere you went, you'd have to say, "I'm unclean, stay away from me." You were excluded from society. You couldn't go to the temple to worship. You couldn't work. You had to beg. You had to ask alms from people who didn't want to come near you. So you can imagine the situation that these guys were in. And they're outside of the town, and Jesus is in the area. And everything is about to change, because they're about to meet with Jesus. They're about to have an encounter with Jesus. And all of us can testify that there's no more life-changing event than when we met Jesus, when we came into contact with him. And these guys are, they're about to be transformed by who Jesus is and what exists within Jesus. And he's able to transform the worst of human conditions. So they see Jesus coming. They would have heard all about the miracles that had been happening. They would have heard of the healings. And they're not allowed to go up to Jesus, but they shout out, "Jesus, Master," give him a term of honor. "Have mercy on us, heal us." And the beautiful thing is, Jesus, he has so much authority. Often he did lay hands on the lepers, not fearing their disease, out of his love and mercy. But he just says to these guys, "I see your faith. Go to the priest." So in those days, if you had been healed of a disease, or the disease had cleared up, you had to go to the priest, and they had to examine you, and they had to clear you, and then you could enter back into society. So Jesus says to them, he doesn't even say be healed, he just says, "Go to the priests and let them examine you." And it's quite remarkable. These guys, they're still covered in scabs and sores and probably pus and whatever. They say, "He told us to do it, we're going to do it. We're going to go to the priest." So they start out on the journey to go and have their skin inspected, but they haven't yet got their healing. And this is a beautiful, it's an amazing example of faith. and how faith works. That we start walking in faith even before we've seen the evidence. And it's quite amazing that they go, all right, we'll go and show ourselves to the priest, but golly. But then as they respond in faith, as they're walking, they look down on the leprosy. This awful disease has just cleared up. They look at their skin and it's new, like a, it was like a baby, but it was just like, it was gone. And you can imagine the wonder as it began to dawn on them what this meant. It wasn't just that they were healed from a disease that was likely to kill them, that was causing them so much suffering. Suddenly they had their lives back. They were able to go back to their family. They were able to go back into society. They could work for a living. There was an incredible of what had happened. And that's the beauty of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of faith is that it connects us to the power of God. I was reading a story about an icebreaker that was stuck in the ice floes, and what they had to do was clear all the rough ice off an area of the ice floe so that the rescue helicopter, when the weather improved, the rescue helicopter could come and land on that area to take the people off the ship. And the beauty of that was the SOS call is a prayer. And these guys shouted out to Jesus. They said, Lord, save us, heal us. That was the prayer. Then when they walked in faith, that clearing that area for the rescue helicopter, that's faith. That's where we say, we don't see the helicopter yet, we don't hear the sound of it, but we're trusting God's intervention. And our faith creates space for a landing of the supernatural power of God. God cannot but respond to faith. He loves faith. It's the catalyst. And when we take the promise of God and we add our faith to it, there's a connection. It's a powerful cable is plugged in and the power of God flows. So a beautiful, beautiful picture. And then supernatural healing takes place that only the Son of God can do. The gift of healing flows to those men as they walk. The authority of Jesus, it didn't even need to be a touch. It didn't even need to be a prayer. It was just faith responding to the command of Jesus. And the healing comes. What a challenge to us to walk in faith, respond in obedience to the promises of Jesus, and then have that rescue helicopter land on our faith and bring the blessing and the rescue of God. But what's interesting is that these 10 men all have the same response here, and they all receive the miraculous healing. But there is a difference in response, and this is the thing that this passage highlights. This is the thing that Jesus highlighted. One guy acts differently, and we want to look at the difference in his response, because he got so much more than his healing. And this is the key we want to unlock to live in the fullness in our lives. They went, 9 went away enjoying their restored life, enjoying their return to society. They were so happy about the blessings. They couldn't wait to get to the priest and just get on with living in the fullness of the blessing. All that had been restored to them. But one guy saw the true value. He recognized the blessings that he had received. But he realized, wait a minute. I just met a man who had supernatural power. I just met a man who gave me a command. And healing came and took this worst problem of my life away in an instant. There's the value. There's the blessing. That's who I want. That's what I want. And I'm not going to go to the priest right now. I'm going to go back and I'm going to thank him. I'm going to go back and I'm going to engage him. I'm interested in him. And they saw that they valued their healing. This man valued the healer. And that's what happens when we give thanks. We set God above the things that God gives us in his goodness. When we set the things above God, they become idols. And the world is full of blessings that God has given for our enjoyment. But as soon as we focus on the blessings and not the blessor, as soon as we're just enjoying the blessings and not giving the credit and the honor and the thanksgiving to the blessor, we lose out on so much of what God has for us. And his heart just overflows with thanksgiving to God. Many come to God just for what they can get from him. We haven't got time to look at the scriptures, but there was a time when Jesus, there was a big crowd there, huge crowd. It could be like, great, wow, look at the crowd. And Jesus actually said to them, he said, you guys aren't here for me and my teachings. You're here because I made bread and fish. I multiplied bread and fish the other day. You're here for a free lunch. And what a tragedy to have Jesus there and we're just there for the lunch. I'm just there for the barbecue. Then he said to guys, he actually said, you're here just for the healings, just for the miracles, just to see the signs, the wonders, the spectacular. And he was saying, you need to be here for me. And too many people are there for the things. We can even come along to church for the fellowship, for the encouragement, for whatever, and forget who's at the source of it all. Who's the one that we just go, every single one of these blessings, oh my gosh, they're just expressions of the beauty of the one who's giving them to us. And that's what this guy does. He's recognized the significance of this beautiful, beautiful person of Jesus. And he's picked up on a truth that is full, the scripture is full of. And we're going to just look at a few of those scriptures. Colossians 2 verse 6 says this, therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. When we've come to Jesus, the natural response of our heart should be, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. There shouldn't be a day goes by. We should make it a regular habit, almost everything we enjoy, just to be living in the awareness that this is a gift from our Father. And be going, thank you, Lord. Overflowing with thanksgiving to him, abounding in thanksgiving, which is what the scripture says here. Counting our blessings, recognizing their source. What this does is it fills us with faith and it fills us with peace. Despite our conditions. Philippians 4 says this. Philippians 4 verse 6 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need some peace in this troubled time? Bring your petitions to God. Send out the SOS. But do it with thanksgiving. Because then our hearts will be flooded with peace, flooded with joy, flooded with the shalom of God. The message in this passage says this. It paraphrases it quite significantly, but I like what it says. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your lives. And it's so beautiful when we pray with thanksgiving, recognizing what God has done, recognizing who God has done. It turns our focus off the problem, no matter how big the problem is, onto a big, big God. And our hearts begin to fill with faith. Our hearts begin to fill with joy, fill with peace, with the shalom of God, which is actually that sense of well-being in everything. And that's the power of thanksgiving. It leads to God's intervention in our lives. I like this quote, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. If we're facing discontent, if we're struggling with where life is at, following Jesus has its ups and downs. I don't know if you've noticed that. There's times where things are amazing, and there's times where things are hard, where there's opposition, when you're swimming against the current. When it seems like life just keeps punching you. Both those things are part of the Christian experience, but we need to give thanks in all of those things. And it breaks the discontent and the dissatisfaction. It breaks the pattern of discouragement, discontentment, and even depression. It's a powerful way out of feeling down. I've found so many times when I'm feeling down, the Lord reminds me, Bruce, don't forget to give thanks. And it's incredible. It almost rearranges your body chemistry when you give thanks. It picks you up and lifts you up. It replaces murmuring and misery with a merry heart. And it imbues our prayer with power and authority, because we see the person of God as he really is, and we remember the things that he's done. There's a kind of thanksgiving that's a level up, is when we start to give thanks, not because of, but despite of. When things are going badly, we give thanks despite of what's going on. It's much easier to say, thank you, Lord, for the good times. But when the bad times are happening, we need to also have the power of thanksgiving. We see that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Scripture says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, because giving thanks to God is God's will. And I love this passage because there's one of my favorite stories about the 10 born sisters. And you might have heard me share it before, but it's just so appropriate in the context of thanksgiving. You know the 10 born family, they hid Jews during the Second World War, and someone betrayed them, and they were all captured, and most of them died. Many of the family died. The father died. I think the brother was shot, but Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy ended up in Ravensbrück, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, concentration camp. A concentration camp for women, which was really an extermination camp where the ladies were worked to death and starved to death. And they were there, but God was with them. He allowed them to smuggle a Bible. They had to strip naked and go through the search process, and he allowed them to smuggle a Bible. He blinded the eyes of the guards, so they got a Bible into that concentration camp. And then they were crammed into these bungalows that were just for supposed to be like for about 20 women, something ridiculous, and there was like about 100 women crammed in these bungalows. Suffocating, claustrophobic closeness. Terrible conditions, fleas everywhere. And they were reading in Thessalonians this passage. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now Betty, in the concentration camp, Betty was the stronger of the Christians. And she said, Corrie, we've got to give thanks to God for these conditions in which we're living. Corrie was like, how do we do that? And they said, let's give thanks for the crammed conditions. Let's give thanks for our Bible. Let's give thanks for our crammed conditions. And they gave thanks for that. And then Betsy said, let's give thanks for the fleas. And Corrie said, no, I don't think I can give thanks for the fleas. But okay, let's give thanks for the fleas. What they discovered, they were in that bungalow with a Bible. They discovered that when they read that Bible at night, there were hundreds of ladies who could hear the word of God because they were so closely crammed together. And they read the word of God, and there were people there on the point of death who could hear the word of God, who could hear the gospel. Those crammed conditions allowed them to be instruments of salvation in people's lives, to be an encouragement to them. And then the fleas. They used to hide their Bible in the bungalow during the days, and generally the guards would search the bungalows for anything that you know, just to make sure there wasn't any contraband or anything. They overheard the guards saying one day, there's no way we're going into that bungalow because of all those fleas. And they realized, thank God for the fleas that allowed them to keep their Bible. In that dreadful situation, God used them to be a witness. Betsy died in that place. The Lord told her she would be free and Corrie would be free. She died, but she was free with the Lord. Corrie was set free by a miracle, and she spent her life telling people, there's a great joy in giving thanks in all circumstances. And Betsy said to her, people will know that there is no pit so deep that God's love and goodness isn't deeper still. And she said, they'll believe you, they'll believe us because we were here. And guys, no matter what the circumstances, there's incredible power in thanksgiving. And thanksgiving says, God, I'm trusting you that even in this circumstance, you're working something out for my heavenly reward, for your great purposes. And that's what we see if we go back to our leper, our healed leper. He comes back to Jesus and he's got an incredible attitude towards Jesus. Not only is he so thankful, not only is he saying, Lord, thank you, you've completely rescued my life. He does something else. He falls on his face before Jesus, and in a loud voice, he praises Jesus. Look at verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Falling on his face was an expression of, you are Lord. I'm laying my life down before you. I'm giving you everything. You deserve all my praise. There's nothing greater. There's nothing higher than you. And what's so beautiful is he had met Jesus as the Christ, as the anointed one. He had met Jesus as healer. But he came back and he met Jesus as Lord. He recognized, if a guy can heal me of that much disaster, I want to serve him. I'm going to bow down to him. I recognize who this is, and I'm going to give him my all. And he surrendered himself to Jesus. And then what happened was, Jesus says to him in verse 19, go, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And what's interesting about that word well there, it's sozo. It's actually the word for salvation. It's a very broad word. So Jesus said, actually, your faith has healed you, but your faith has saved you. And what actually happened, both of them apply. His faith caused him to be healed, which was part of his salvation. But he actually came to a knowledge of who Jesus was, and that would save his soul. And guys, every one of us was a leper in the spiritual sense. We were covered in the scabs and the pus of sin. When we come to Jesus and we bow down and we say, Lord, you are Lord. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us. We know him as Savior. But when we know him as Savior, we need to also then go, I bow my knee before you, Lord. You are Lord of my life. And if you want to send me into a crammed bungalow full of fleas to be a witness for you, I give you thanks. And if you want to bring me through a hard, challenging world and the things we might face in it, I give you thanks. The power of heaven is released to us, the joy of heaven. And those ladies knew that incredible joy. You know what the other beautiful thing about thanksgiving is? It brings us deeper into relationship with God. It brings us closer to the Father. If we don't give thanks, ingratitude moves us away from God. Ingratitude and the failure to worship God is actually the core to man's problems. And if we look in Romans, we see that the dark side of ingratitude. Romans 1 verse 21 says this. Sorry, I just need to blow my nose. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it goes on in verse 24 to say, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The essence of sin is to worship the good stuff that God put in this world for our enjoyment. To worship it, to practice it outside of God's parameters. To pursue the created things rather than to worship the one who created them. And that separates us from God. That darkens our hearts. So to fail to give thanks distances us from God. But to give thanks draws us into His presence. So look at Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." Thanksgiving is the gateway that brings us into the presence of God. Praise is the thing that brings us into His inner courts. And we need to be like that one guy who recognizes this and comes back to fall at the feet of Jesus. Even if our nine friends, even if the majority is going the other way, even if the majority is apathetic about giving thanks and giving praise. These guys didn't worry about the crowds. They didn't worry about this guy. He didn't worry about his peers. He was like, "You might be wanting to go that way. I'm going that way. I'm going to give thanks." And then he shouts, not embarrassed, not, "What will people think about me? I praise you, Jesus, because look what you've done for me. I give you all the glory and all the thanks." And may we learn from this guy today and make it our habit to give thanks. Make it our dial, like our it's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see what the Bible says? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But then what is the fruit of that? We sing songs. We sing songs to one another. We sing together. We say, "God is great. God is wonderful. He's the one." Beautiful songs that we sang. That one new one was so beautiful. I touched my heart so much. We sing together, and then our hearts just make music to God. We can't help but sing praises to Him. And giving thanks always for everything in the name of Jesus. May God fill us with His Spirit, and may that be the fruit, this lifestyle of worshiping God. May worship and thanksgiving be our dialect. That people will go, you know, when you hear a dialect, you hear someone, "Oh, they're from that part of Scotland, or they're from that part of England, or they're from the South Island," because you can tell by their dialect, you can tell by their accent. We want praise and thanksgiving to be our dialect and our accent. That people tell the difference. Man, everybody's complaining, everybody's moaning about how bad things are. These guys, they're praising God, who lifted them up and put them on solid ground. That's exactly what that founding scripture says. We'll praise Him because He put us on solid ground. He healed us of our spiritual leprosy, changed our destiny, restored us to relationship with Him. And when we praise Him, they'll go, "I want to learn that song." And they'll climb up onto the rock of Jesus, and they'll be together with Him. The message for that passage says, "Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ." Let's look for any excuse for a song to God, our Master. G.K. Chesterton said this, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or you take them with gratitude." May God help us to be a praising people, a thanksgiving people, that we are thankful for everything that He's done. If we do this individually and then we do it corporately, guys, it's going to resound out in the world where they don't have anything to give thanks for. But darkness and separation from God. As we worship, let's let the Holy Spirit ignite something in our hearts. Stir up again the song of thanksgiving. Take us to that higher level where we give thanks despite of, because of, and despite of. And may He help us to glorify God. Lord, we thank You that today we are together to celebrate. We're celebrating 4 years of Your faithfulness as a local church. And you've been so good to us, God. And there's been the ups and there's been the downs. And God, you've been with us through all of them. And thank you for the friendships. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the blessing. We thank you, Lord. Lord, if we got started, there are so many things that we can give you thanks for. But today, as we remember this encounter, Jesus, you were so blessed with the one guy in seven. He was the foreigner. He was the outcast amongst outcasts. But he recognized not just the blessing, but the blessor. He recognized the King of Heaven. He recognized who it was that he had met. And he pushed back in to know more about you, Lord, to know more of you, and to give you the praise and the thanks. So, Lord, would you ignite that in our hearts? Holy Spirit, fill us. And fill us that we will overflow with thanksgiving and praise. Meet us and touch us, Lord, even as we worship you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.